Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 21 of Limitless with Nadia. Today, we have a little bit of a different episode for you guys. It's a solo episode, technically, where I will be answering a lot of your guys' questions. I ran a poll on my Instagram story recently asking you guys what you want to know about me, my life, my coaching process, or just any general questions that you have for me. And I've sent them over to my wonderful social media manager, Kaylee, who was on last week's episode as well. And she has taken the liberty of coming up with a few different categories of questions and a bunch of questions within those categories that I will be choosing to answer. And by the way, you guys, I haven't seen any of these questions myself. Kaylee has been the one to put them together. And Kaylee, if you want to say hello.
Hi, everyone. I am so excited for this episode. I think you're all really going to like it. And I'm kind of curious to see what these answers are too, Nadia. I'm not going to lie, because they get a little personal.
Ooh, I can't wait. Yeah, I mean, I'll be so honest. I feel like I don't really share as much about my personal life, not on purpose, but I think I like to keep the focus on how I can help other people. And sometimes I kind of forget myself in that process, that sometimes people want to know some of the personal stuff, and that's okay. So I'm just excited to answer whatever questions you guys have had for me thus far. And yeah, let's go ahead and get into it. I know you have a couple of the categories already put together. So what are our categories for today's Jeopardy-esque podcast episode?
Yeah. So the first category is DeLulu is the Salulu. So
Slay.
We had people ask questions about how to really get into character, how to be a delusional babe, so that way we can manifest our dreams and desires. The second category that we have are challenges and difficulties, which I think Nadia is a really great person to shed some light on when we're all going through some tough times. The next category we have is coaching curiosities. So anybody that is, you know, potentially looking to be a coach themselves, there's a lot of really good questions on how Nadia first started becoming a coach and what her background is and how that's helped elevate her coaching experience. And then lastly, probably my favorite category is a sneak peek into Nadia's life. So it gets a little personal and pretty spicy.
Honestly, what a slay all around. These are such amazing categories. I'm really excited to really dive right in and answer all of them, hopefully, because I know you said there's a few interesting ones in there. So I'm just going to choose a category and then you're going to let me know the question, right?
Yes.
Okay, let's start with challenges and difficulties. Let's get into the hard stuff.
Okay, drum roll, please, for the first question for challenges and difficulties. Here we go. Someone asks, Nadia, do you have any experiences with trauma as a child? If so, how did you deal and heal from it?
Ooh, a great question. So growing up, I would say my biggest childhood trauma had to do probably with my dad, because when I was 6 years old, my parents got divorced, and it was a good decision. Honestly, they fought a lot, and it was just healthier for everyone involved for them to go their separate ways. But I think the way my dad handled the divorce, he ended up moving out of the country when I was like nine or so. And he actually didn't tell me, like, he didn't let me know that he was leaving the country like for good. And I think that's something that really sparked a lot of pain within me as a child, because my natural instinct was to blame myself. And I was like, well, why wasn't I enough for you to like stick around, you know? So I grappled with that for a lot of my childhood, with the abandonment issues, and just my dad's trauma himself, like just not really taking a lot of accountability and responsibility for things, I think really impacted me growing up, and kind of not really having a strong father figure that was very present in my life. I think that definitely influenced the way I grew up, and kind of there was always that, not missing piece, because everybody has a part of their childhood that could have gone better, right? But I think for me, it's definitely been, there have been a lot of wounds around my self-concept that come from that situation in my life. And so it really took a lot of self-reflection. And specifically, it was actually when I read two of the books that I always talk about, The Power of Now and Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself, that I was really able to like open my eyes and be like, wow, okay, I've been holding on to this pain for a while, but I actually don't, it doesn't have to be part of my identity anymore. Like, I can choose to forgive my parents. They were doing the best that they could, specifically my dad, right? Like, he was operating at like his best capacity. And I'm just, I made the conscious decision to not harbor any more resentment and kind of just like accept him for who he is and the role that he played in my life. And I think something else that really helped me come to terms with my daddy issues per se is that I always talk about how your soul actually chooses your soul contracts before you come into this lifetime, right? So your soul literally came into this lifetime knowing all the people, like knowing who your parents would be, who your friends would be, everybody that you would meet and have a relationship with in your life. Your soul knew that and it purposely signed up for it because it knew that like this is something you need for your soul to be able to grow. It's going to present you with the right opportunities, the right challenges, the right emotional resources for you to actually evolve as a person. And so that has helped me so, so much because I don't really sit on the thought of like, well, it could have gone so much differently if you had just decided to act better or if you had just decided to like be a dad or whatever the case may be. It really helped me to kind of let go of the past and just accept my dad for who he is and whatever like trauma that he has brought in with, you know, into his own lifetime. And, you know, that helped me grow a lot and not internalize a lot of the things that happened in my childhood or make it about me. I can recognize that my parents are human beings at the end of the day and that they're dealing with their own trauma and that, you know, we're all here to grow and learn more about ourselves. So I think that is something that's probably like my biggest childhood trauma that, and that's when I think about it, my abandonment issues caused me to attract a lot of unavailable partners and like really traumatic relationships with people that were just not serving me at all. And I think that's also part of the process too, right? And that's why I always talk about codependency because that's kind of the theme that would always come up in my relationships is codependency. And I would like need a guy to feel like okay and safe and good in my life. And that's just not a really comfortable place to be. So I think that's where a lot of my inner work was as well, is learning how to be comfortable being by myself and spending time by myself and not needing somebody to fill the void that my dad kind of left when I was like 9 years old. So I think that would be my biggest childhood trauma. I would never say that I'm fully healed from, I don't think anybody's ever fully healed from anything. I think it's a constant work in progress, right? You're always moving towards a higher level of consciousness. But yeah, I would say that is my biggest childhood wound and I'm actively working on it every day. So yeah.
Wow. That was beautiful, Nadia. Hope everybody heard that loud and clear because that's just like so relatable. Like challenges of going through a divorce, because like when parents go through a divorce, I feel like the children also go through it too. And mm-hmm. So the way in which you kind of described that and how it carried on in your life, but really pointing out that like healing is not like you don't come to the finish line with healing. So I thought that was beautifully said. And thank you so much for being vulnerable and sharing that.
Well, thank you for asking the amazing question. I think, there's something else that came to mind as you were like reiterating all of that. And it's, I think another big, big piece of the trauma that was left from that abandonment wound was my relationship with masculine energy in general. I think it's, so obviously I'm a coach. I have my own business. I work all the time. And I provide for myself. And I think part of that has to do with the fact that I have learned to be my own masculine energy in a lot of ways, like that hyper-independent, like, oh, I can do it. I can handle it myself. I can always have it figured out. Kind of like a sense of control a little bit. Like that is something that I've also noticed has impacted me from that early childhood experience. And so I'm also actively working on always implementing the feminine energy of like, it's okay. Things will be taken care of. I don't have to be in the driver's seat all the time. So that's just an extra piece that kind of came up as well, is my relationship with masculine energy has been impacted as a result of that. And that's also something I'm still working on every day. So just a little extra tidbit.
Yes. Thank you for bringing that to light. I love this so much. Okay. That was a great start to this Jeopardy style episode. Nadia, why don't you pick the next category and I'll choose your question.
Let's do DeLulu is the Salulu.
I love it. Probably my favorite category. Here we go. DeLulu is the Salulu. So this is actually a really great question. Someone asked, explain how you can pretend to have something already before you manifested it, aka being the energy of your desires and living in the end moment.
Great question. So here's the thing. A lot of people don't realize that your imagination is a very, very powerful tool, right? When you use your imagination, you can create emotional experiences for yourself simply by visualizing it in your mind's eye. And it creates the same impact as if you actually literally did experience it, right? So if you think about it, if I like think about like the six-figure business owner, it's always the example that I use, right? Where I would be DeLulu. If you've listened to the first few episodes of this podcast, you know this was my religion. I would literally every morning drive to Starbucks and be DeLulu, acting like I was already a six-figure business owner. I had all the things. And I would carry myself the same way I would if I already had that stuff. And the secret is that like, it doesn't have to, like what you want, it doesn't have to be real before you can start treating it like it's real. Like when I'm in the car and I'm thinking to myself, okay, I have to deposit the money from this week's launch. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. I have to talk to my assistant today, right? Like all of those things, as I'm thinking them and I'm visualizing them and I'm feeling them, that creates an emotional and energetic output that creates a tangible change in your reality, right? It's just about not allowing your logical mind to get in the way first and be like, well, that's actually not real yet, right? Like who cares if it's not real yet? Obviously that there is a time buffer where like the moment you visualize it to the moment it comes true, like there's going to be a little bit of time lapse, but that doesn't mean it's not going to be real. So it's like, I hope that answered that question. It's basically just that your mind's eye is very powerful. If you can visualize it, it's always everything comes down to you really just being able to channel the energy. That's all it is. And if you can channel the energy with your thoughts and your emotions and you put that energy out into the universe, it will come back and find you, right? So it's like, I know a lot of people get really bogged down by the realistic thinking or maybe feeling really silly about it. But let me ask you this, babe. When you were 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, did you have any problems playing pretend? No, you'd be like, I got a husband, I got a house, and I got to do this, that, and the third, whatever kind of Barbie you like to play, right? Like it was right there. You didn't question it. You didn't feel weird about it. And that's why I'm always saying, dude, be a kid again. Like stop being an adult and being so weird and so rigid about things. Who gives a shit? Literally be DeLulu until it's real. Like it only becomes difficult when you take yourself too seriously. So stop taking yourself seriously. Remember that your mind is a very, very powerful thing. If you can visualize it, it's already real. All you have to do is mimic the same emotional and like mental processes that would happen if it was actually here. And then before you know it, it's going to be real. There you go. Hope that helps.
yes, it does. I really like how you're saying like just experience the emotional like energy that mm-hmm. comes from the imagination. And mm-hmm. the biggest thing for me was when I was like practicing this, like being delusional, I had mm-hmm. to get over being the quote unquote, like, oh, this is cringy. Like I can't stare yeah. at myself in the mirror and like tell myself that I'm a successful, you know, entrepreneur in the social media mm-hmm. space. Like even though mm-hmm. I was a consultant at the time I was saying this into the mirror, I was literally like, okay, just stop worrying about what you're saying or how you're looking in this mirror. Like, stop worrying about cringe. Like, who else is watching me right now but myself? So
literally, when it's just, yeah, like when it's just you and yourself, really, what do you have to be afraid of? That's when you realize where your mind has really gone in terms of like forcing yourself to be realistic. It's like, well, nobody's around. Who's forcing you to be realistic? Like, you know, you put yourself in a prison essentially, but you can take yeah. yourself out of it at any point in time. And I think something else that's really interesting is your astrology birth chart will tell you a lot about where you may struggle with being DeLulu. Like I'll tell you, this is probably why I don't really have as much of an issue. It's because I'm a Pisces stellium. I have so much delusional ass Pisces energy in my chart, you guys, that it's just easy for me to tap into another realm and not even question it. Honestly, sometimes I'd be maladaptive daydreaming if I'm being for real. Like it can actually work against me sometimes. So, but if you're someone that has a lot of like earth placements where you're really grounded in the material world and you are very, like the way you see the world is from a very practical perspective, you might struggle a little bit with that. So you might have to find other ways of being DeLulu that don't feel as silly to you and maybe mimic more of like a real life experience. An example, well, maybe this isn't the best example, but this is an example that I always give. Like walk into Starbucks pretending you're on the phone as if you're your 2.0 self that already has the things that you want. So for me, when I was, again, like manifesting being a six-figure business owner and all that, I would walk into Starbucks taking fake ass phone calls and being like, yeah, so like, what do you guys think? Okay, so we have a team meeting, obviously. I have to do this, this, and that. And it's like, yeah, it was DeLulu, but like you were enacting it in your real life in a way. And it's like, sometimes that can be the thing that breaks the barrier down and helps you kind of get into it a little more. So I hope that was helpful.
And what's crazy is now in reality, Nadia literally sends voice notes to our team talking about our next team meeting and all of the things. So she literally did manifest that. And it all started at her local Starbucks being DeLulu.
Literally, it's just about being DeLulu and not taking it so seriously. Like when I was being DeLulu with the fake phone calls, I wasn't do like after the fact, I wasn't like, oh, is that really gonna happen in real life? Or oh my God, that was so silly. Is that gonna be like, I would just do it for shits and giggles just to have fun with it. And that's, I think, why it built up so much momentum and it was actually like it came to fruition because I wasn't obsessing over, well, that was silly or that won't actually come true. So it's really just about being a kid about it and then everything else starts to come together on its own.
Yeah, I think the motto is it's not that serious from that question.
Literally, it's not that deep, babe. You'll be okay. Just you'll play pretend. It'll be okay.
I love it. Okay, Nadia, choose your next category.
Let's do couching curiosities. I'm really, I think that one will be fun.
Okay, here we go.
All right.
How did your background in psychology help you in the work you're in today?
Oh, that is a great, great
Slay.
question. That's a slay of a question. So, you guys probably know that I got my bachelor's in psychology, specifically clinical psychology, because my initial plan was to become a therapist. So I always knew that I wanted to help people heal. I always knew that I wanted to kind of be the sounding board for people to be able to grow and evolve. And I thought that was therapy at the time. And so I got a lot of really great insight into human behavior, how people think. These like psychological principles, like schemas are basically like the way, the lens that we see the world in and the patterns and the symbols that we recognize when we're looking at the world. Like that's everything about what I do right now, right? As a manifestation coach, like how do you see the world and how is that impacting what you're actually attracting and inviting into your reality? So I think it was really, it's really cool to have the background of understanding the scientific psychology behind everything, like all of like Carl Jung's work and like what are some, who are some other psychologists? Man, I can't remember the names anymore. I was such a fan of them in undergrad, but like I've learned so much really impactful work from my degree and just from my deep dive into psychology in general that I use all the time. I'm trying to think of other examples. Let's see, let's see. Oh, when I'm always talking about the hedonic treadmill of happiness, that's a really big one. So I took a class in undergrad called The Science of Well-being, and that was a really, really big one because for most of my undergraduate like classes related to psychology, it was always abnormal psychology. It was always like, okay, mental disorders and like, you know, all of these like clinical issues. I even took a class called Mystery, Madness, and Murder, like the psychology of serial killers and stuff. Yeah, that one was wild. That was a really cool one. But the one that changed the game for me was the science of well-being because it gave me the out like the other perspective of psychology of like how can we actually use these principles to make our lives better and feel happier, as opposed to just getting over a mental illness. So that one really changed the game for me because it made me realize that if you understand a lot of psychological principles, you can literally hack your brain to feel however you want to feel. I think that was a really big piece of it for me was like the takeaway of your brain is so malleable and you're so able to really take control of your patterns, your wiring, the way that your brain actually responds to things. And so just being exposed to that throughout my entire undergraduate experience, I think really primed me as a coach now to be able to use the same principles and apply them in my everyday work with clients. And like I was saying with the hedonic treadmill of happiness, it's that's something that stuck with me from the science of well-being class. And it's basically that human beings tend to have this issue where they think to themselves, okay, right now I'm not really that happy, but once I achieve X, Y, and Z, I will be so happy, everything will be amazing. So we hinge all of our happiness on this like external goal. And then we get there. And then once we get there, it's like, yeah, it's cool for a minute. But then we go right back to square one, not that much longer after, where we're like, okay, where's the next thing that's going to make me really happy? So when I learned that in that class, I kind of was like, oh, holy shit. That's like the whole reason why a lot of people are so genuinely unhappy. It's just because of the fact that their brains are so used to waiting for the next best thing, like the next hit. It's like an addiction, right? As opposed to just being present and enjoying the moment and having the gratitude, like started to kind of expose me to that way of thinking. And that was just huge. So I use this kind of stuff and I use it. I explain that exact theory to my clients all the time. Like a big part of my coaching process is education and teaching. And like I have the same hedonic treadmill of happiness conversation with every single one of my clients at least once. So I use these things literally all the time. And I think it's just a testament to the fact that if you just follow what you love from the beginning, you will, it will always turn out exactly the way it's supposed to. Like, yeah, I didn't end up being a therapist. I didn't end up getting a therapy degree or like finishing my master's with it, but I learned so much that I still get to use in my everyday life as a coach because psychology has been the underpinning of everything I've been fascinated by and interested in. And it's, and I found a way to use it as a coach. So yeah, I hope that answered that question.
Definitely. Hack your brain, change your life. I love it. I feel like everybody needs to take a science of well-being class in school. That sounds amazing.
It should literally be, I mean, if you ask me, I would love to disassemble the entire education system and redo it from the ground up, because a lot of it is not made to help you succeed. And I think if like you said, more people were required to take classes like that, that would actually apply to who they are and how they operate on a day-to-day basis, like it would change everything. For sure.
Nadia is going to be changing the school system.
Yeah, I'm going to be doing my professor era one day. Just watch.
Okay, Nadia, I think it's time for us to switch it up. I think that I should choose a category and a question.
All right.
You know which category I'm leaning in towards.
See it coming. I can smell it. Just tell me now.
So we're going to do a question from a sneak peek into Nadia's life.
Slay.
So there's some juicy questions in here, but I'll let you off the hook now and we'll start off something really simple.
Okay.
But currently, what does your day-to-day routine look like?
Oh, great question.
Yeah.
This is something I want to start putting more on my socials and stuff, because I really want you guys to see how I live my day-to-day life, because it's just so different than what it used to be. Mm-hmm. But in my everyday life now, I wake up at kind of whatever time I feel like it. I don't have like a time that I wake up every day. It's just based on however I feel. Sometimes if I go to bed really late, maybe I'm waking up like 9 or 10. If I'm going to bed early, maybe like 6 or 7. But I wake up and I like to do meditation. That's a really important one. I like to start my day off on the right foot with that and practice what I preach. So I'll do a meditation. And then I like to obviously go in my car and drive to Starbucks or drive to Robex and get myself a smoothie or a coffee or whatever. That's like my happy trigger. I've been so religious about every day having one happy trigger that I do. And it's usually related to fresh juice or fresh coffee. So I will go and do that. Obviously, I'll do my mindset work on the way there in the car with being Delulu most of the time. But if I'm not really feeling it, I will just vibe out to my music or just make sure that I'm in a very grounded mood as I'm driving in the car and you know, being intentional about that. And then usually my meetings, like recently, they haven't been starting until like 4, maybe 5 p.m. So I love having all that time to just do whatever the fuck I feel like doing. Sometimes that looks like going and getting a massage or getting my nails done. Or sometimes it looks like just napping throughout the morning, to be honest, if I'm feeling really tired. Like I'm really big on just honoring whatever I feel like doing, whatever my needs are that day. I also love running errands. Sometimes I'll have to like go return stuff or maybe buy new makeup or just whatever it is. Or if I'm doing work, maybe I'm answering emails and, doing little administrative stuff like that. But then I have usually my meetings again with clients or, with my alignment team or whoever the case may be. And then my evening wind down is I actually like to go for an evening drive. That's been really the vibe for me lately. Like I just love driving in my car and just listening to my music and just having a nice open sky to look at. So that's something else I do in the evening time. And I usually like to close out my day with a meditation as well. And I shower every single night before bed, like non-negotiable. It's almost like an OCD thing at this point. Like even if I'm so dead tired, I don't care. Like I'm taking a shower before bed and then I'm hitting the sack. So that's pretty much my day-to-day routine.
Okay, I 100% agree. I need to see the visuals that go with this daily routine because I love it. Quick question, what's the go-to Starbucks order right now? Let the girlies know.
Yes, well, right now we are in October, it's fall time. So obviously we are getting a double iced espresso with pumpkin cream cold foam and a little bit of cinnamon on top in a grande cup. And it's just that. And there's a specific way you have to drink it too. You have to, like, when you're taking the first sip, because you have, like, the espresso at the bottom and then you have the cream at the top, and they don't really mix, but they're not supposed to, because when you drink it, you tilt it back so you get a little bit of the cream and you get a little bit of the coffee at the same time, and then it mixes in your mouth. I know that sounds weird. It sounds so technical. It's so weird. But trust me, every single person I've put onto this drink has been obsessed. So just take my word for it. It's the bomb.
Okay. TikTok tutorial on how to properly drink a Starbucks drink.
I'm going to have to do that.
Yeah, soon.
Yeah, I'm going to do that. Full tutorial.
Oh, okay. I love it. Okay. Your turn, Nadia. You choose the next category and I'll choose the next question.
Okay, amazing. Let's do another challenges and difficulties. Let's start there again.
Yeah, those were good. Okay, challenges and difficulties. How do you handle limitations created by others around you? For example, your parents.
That's a really good question. So, when it comes to the limiting beliefs of the people around me, because I spend so much time in hermit mode and I'm so big on making sure I always have time to check in with myself, I'm constantly aware of somebody's limiting beliefs that don't align with me. And I make sure to compartmentalize. And like, if I'm starting to feel impacted by it, I'm like, let me check myself and remind myself of my values, of my belief system, of the things that I know I subscribe to. And I think it is easier, again, because I spend so much time in hermit mode, and I do need a lot of alone time to feel okay. And I think that is because I'm so I can be really sensitive to other people's energies. And if I spend too much time around people that do have a lot of limiting beliefs or are very maybe like stagnant in their thinking a little bit, I'm like, I don't want to even put myself in that situation. So I'm really big on making sure I always have the alone time to kind of detox any energy that I know is not my own. And I am always like able to recognize, like, if somebody has a limiting belief, I'm very aware that it's their limiting belief, and I don't like let it kind of mix with my own, if that makes sense. Like, I know that's a little bit vague, but it's like, and I can always sense it too, because as a manifestation coach now, like, I have a sixth sense for when someone feels like a lot of limitation around something. And so I'll just kind of go out of my, like, I won't talk about things that are really important to me or my goals or like my accomplishments or anything around people that I know have a lot of limiting beliefs. And that's intentional because, you know, when it's something that you care about a lot, you don't want to share that with somebody who doesn't believe in it. And then you get some of that energy yourself. So I think for me, that's why I've also like, I have friends that I literally don't talk to anymore because of that exact situation. Like, they have a lot of limiting beliefs about themselves, about their own lives, and they tend to project that onto me. And in this new chapter of my life where I'm like limitless thinking, like infinite potential, and they're not really on that wavelength, which is totally fine. It's not like, it's not for everybody. But it's like when I start recognizing that, I'm like, yeah, what I'm not going to do is continuously put myself in that environment and put like continuously challenge my own beliefs with things that I know are not things that I want to subscribe to. So I think that helps, the making sure that I'm always cognizant of who I'm around and actively making sure that I'm not subscribing to those same beliefs, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's beautifully said, Nadia. Kind of brings up a thought that I had the other day. I love my parents, I love my mom, and I love hanging out with my mom. But sometimes when she has limiting beliefs and she starts projecting them outwards, not necessarily like directed towards me, but you know, she starts talking and the old version of me would probably be combative and try to like prove her wrong. But now I'm just very self-aware and I like make the space for her to have her say what she is going to say. And instead of like trying to impart my two cents on like that limiting belief and why she's like wrong, I'm literally just like, okay, mom, like hear her
Do
out.
you?
You know, she, yeah, do you? She's just trying to like essentially talk to her daughter. And I'm not trying to like prove anybody wrong, but just making this space for those people and just knowing that, like, okay, that's your belief, but I'm probably not going to, like, you know, start preaching to you about what I believe, like, on the contrary of yours. So just making space for like family members, I think it's like when is the appropriate time to do things like that? And so in that moment, I was just like, okay, mom, like, I'm creating her the space for her to say so.
100%. That's such a good point. Is like, you really don't have to prove everybody wrong, or like, people don't have to agree with what you say for what you say to be right. Like, it can be your truth without needing other people's validation of it. And I love what you mentioned. Like, yeah, be graceful, hold the space, let them say what they need to say. If you know for a fact that they're not going to be receptive to the infinite potential and like, oh, this is a limiting belief, and there's no need to bring it up because sometimes people aren't ready to hear that, and that's okay. And at that point, there's nothing to do about it. The only thing you need to make sure that you're not doing is absorbing it yourself. And you'll always be able to tell if it's a like a limiting belief that's based in fear, just based on the way it makes you feel. Like, if the limiting belief itself, when you hear somebody talking about something in a very limited way, notice how it feels in your body. You're probably going to feel really restricted. You're probably going to feel maybe a little anxious, fearful, oh, like very uneasy. And that is literally your higher self communicating to you that this thought is not in alignment. It is not based in reality. It is not based in truth. It is based in fear, illusion, distortion. So it's okay for you to be like, okay, this thought doesn't make me feel very good. It's somebody else's limiting belief. It's okay to keep it that way. I don't have to take this home with me. So I think all of the above is just a really great way to audit and monitor, making sure that you aren't really being as impacted by other people's limiting beliefs as much.
Yes. Love it. Being on that higher consciousness energy, frequency, whatever you want to call it. I can't even imagine like me telling my mom, like, Mom, I have infinite potential and everything around me is just energy. And like her limiting belief would be like, stop right there. What are you talking about?
So, literally. Yes. Yeah. So, that sets people off sometimes. I think it's just about having the self-awareness to recognize when somebody won't be as receptive to that and just being like, yeah, it's probably not. I can't tell you how many people I've literally been like, no, I'm not leaving this room until you agree with what I'm saying, because infinite potential is literally real. But it's like, at some point, you just got to be like, it's not worth it, man. It's like, do you, whatever you believe, it's cool.
Yeah, it's all good, mama.
It's all good.
All good.
All right. I think next one, let's do Delulu's the Salulu.
Nadia
feeling sing-songy today.
Yeah, she's literally a singer in her past life and in yes. this life. What am I talking about? Okay, this Always. Was a good question. I like Let's this one. It. What are your top three manifestation techniques that have absolutely worked for you? Top three.
Okay, first one is low-hanging fruit, just the simplest, is journaling. Journaling about my desires in the present tense as if I already have them and I'm thanking the universe for those gifts. So for example, when I'm manifesting new clients, new coaching clients, I will literally be like, universe, thank you so much for this full roster of perfectly aligned coaching clients. Universe, thank you so much for the fact that I was able to make 5 figures this month. Universe, thank you so much. I'm so happy and grateful that I have a team that I love working with that's perfectly aligned. Like everything that I'm actively desiring to manifest, I will write it down in the present tense in my journal as if it's already real and I'm expressing gratitude for it. That was literally my entry into manifestation, into these rituals, and it has never failed me. So that is probably the top one. The next one, and this is something I realized kind of recently, is, oh man, it's going to sound kind of silly, but I really don't even care. I'm just going to put it out there. When I'm driving in the car or when I'm like in the mirror doing my makeup or like whatever, I will literally talk about my manifestations as if I'm explaining them to somebody else and I'm like really proud of it. So this is something I've actually, I think, made a TikTok about like the interview method, like pretending that I'm invited on somebody's podcast and they're like so amazed by all of my success and all the amazing things that I've been able to do for myself. And I'll just be like, yeah, it was so crazy. Like it just kind of happened out of nowhere. Like I just became like a 6-figure business owner. It was just kind of wild. And it was just so effortless. Like it was so easy. And just really getting myself into that role, into that mindset of like, yeah, it's already here. And it's just been the most amazing experience just reflecting on all of it. And even in the car, like I said, I'll say them out loud. Like I will just be like, okay, what would I say right now if I was talking to somebody who was like really wanted to replicate the same thing that I did and they were really fascinated by it and they really wanted to do it for themselves? Well, I would tell them, yeah, oh my gosh, you could totally do it too. Like getting myself in the state of mind where I'm describing it to someone as if it's really easy, because I think like that helps me counter the energy of, oh my God, it's so hard. It's going to be so difficult. There's going to be so many obstacles and so many challenges. Like I can make them disappear just by the way I talk about it. And if I can talk about it in a way where it was so effortless, I just magnetized all of it with my energy. It wasn't that hard at all. I think that really helps me to step into the right energy to be able to actually track those things. Because at that point I'm living in the end, right? It's all about being Delulu. And then the third one, honestly, meditating. I really feel like meditating is just the simplest portal to be able to quantum leap into the next chapter, and just being able to like regulate my energy. So I think choosing the right meditation for the right mood is what's been really important, because I've noticed that when I try to put pressure on myself to do a meditation because I'm like, oh, I have to do my meditation today or else, you know, whatever, it doesn't feel the same. It's not really as impactful. So I really like to sit with myself and be like, okay, what kind of meditation feels good for me today? And if it's not a meditation, maybe it's something else. And this is something I tell to all of my clients. It's like a staple of this process, is when you're doing your alignment rituals or your manifestation rituals, like it should never be a check in the box. It should always come from an intuitive place of, I feel drawn to doing this right now. I feel like I really want to do this right now. And that's how I always know I'm doing the right one. So in terms of top three, that would be my top three. But I think the more important piece is why I choose to do them. I never force myself. I'm never like, oh my God, shit, today I have to write out all my manifestations. Or, oh my God, shit, like today I have to like be Delulu. It's like, I just go with the flow of whatever feels right for me in that moment. But usually it's those three: meditation, writing in my journal, or being Delulu and just like verbalizing these things as if they were real.
Oh, I love that. I definitely took some notes. I love the manifestation technique of expressing that whatever you manifested, it came to you so effortlessly and so seamlessly, mm-hmm. and you attracted it. And instead of being like, you know, wary of, it's going to be so hard for me to become a six-figure yeah. business owner, whatever you're trying to manifest, like mm-hmm. stop having the narrative that it's hard. And I love that element of expressing that it came to you so seamlessly. I love that. A question yeah. that came to mind though, mm-hmm. that I'm sure a lot of people want to know, mm-hmm. what are some of your favorite like meditations? Like where do people go to tap in and get some really good meditations for manifestation? I would say for like beginners, and then yeah. also for people that have like kind of like me, like I've been a self-improvement junkie. So like, what are yes. some of your like beginning and advanced meditations that you really love?
So I always recommend Shiva Rasa to everybody. That's always like, she's on YouTube. You can look her up, and we can even link them in the description for this episode. But Shiva Rasa meditations, one of them is Meet Your Radiant Self. Another one is Meet Your Virtuous Self, or something about your virtuous self. And then there's the Conquering Your Day. It's like a breathwork meditation that's also really good. So I think her stuff is really good for beginners across the board. They're usually like 20 minutes long, which if you are a beginner, you don't have to go all the way through. You can start with just like 5, 10 minutes, whatever feels right for you. But I think those are the best because the quality of her voice, of the sound in general, is amazing. Her voice is so angelic. It does something to me where I'm like, I just want to sit down and listen to this, which is usually not the case for me. Like most meditation voices are like irritating as fuck. And I'm like, shut up. Like, this is annoying. Like, stop. But with her, there's something about her voice that's just very magnetizing. And the music that she uses is also really, really nice. It's like a modern mix. It's not like the traditional frequency music that can get a little bit like, okay, this is like a little too intense. It's more of like a modern combination. So that is really nice. I would also say Brian Scott is one of my all-time favorites. He's also on YouTube. Very, very different energy to it. He has like a really deep voice. It's like a very masculine voice, whereas Shiva Rasa is like very feminine. But with Brian Scott, he has a lot of really good money meditations. He has a lot of good meditations that you can play while you sleep. So it's like 8 hours long of just subliminals for your subconscious mind to absorb, because while you're asleep, your subconscious mind is open and receptive for new ideas. So Brian Scott is also really, really good. He has also, visualizing your dream home guided meditation. That one, oh my God, that one literally changed my life. I really enjoyed that one. So we can link these, like a few of my favorites, in the description for you guys so you can listen to them. But I would say those are a really good starting point. And I think like, it's really just about, again, moving very intuitively with it. Like, don't force yourself to sit through a 20-minute meditation if you're not feeling it. Like, start with 5 to 10 minutes, see how you're feeling. If it feels good and you're in the right setting and it just like it's hitting the spot, then just sit throughout the whole thing. But if not, it's okay to just quit whenever you feel like, okay, this is not really doing it for me, and kind of going from there. So those I would say are my top recommendations.
Top resources. Those are some mm-hmm. gems. I remember, yes. Nadia, you shared the Brian Scott money manifestation. Mm-hmm. when I did your money manifestation workshop.
Yes.
And it was so powerful. I right? legit quantum leaped that night. And then I did it again in the morning. And I mm-hmm. definitely was like, holy crap, this stuff works, because I manifested exactly the amount that I was trying to manifest in 3 days. So Brian Scott he's for real.
Slay. Oh my God. I don't think I've ever talked about the Abundance Accelerator workbook on podcast episodes, but for those of you who don't know, I released a few months ago a 3-day workbook for manifesting money called the Abundance Accelerator workbook. And it basically has you do a journaling exercise every day for 3 days and the money meditation that Kaylee's talking about by Brian Scott every morning and every evening. And you will manifest the amount of money that you put down the first day. Like, I've had so many people like talk about the crazy results that they've had with it. And it's like, if you just be consistent for the 3 days, the money will come through because it really raises your vibration to the frequency of abundance. And it's just such a simple way to reprogram your subconscious mind to feel more aligned with that vibration. So we will also link that for you guys in the description as well if you want to buy that. And I think you're really going to love it. So it's going to be fun.
Yes. We'll make sure to include all of those. Okay, mm-hmm. Nadia. The people want to know, I'm ready to ask a very particular question.
Okay.
So I'm going in for the kill.
Let's hear it.
So this category is coming from a sneak peek into Nadia's life.
Okay.
And the question is, what are you trying to manifest relationship-wise?
Ooh, y'all be asking the right questions. Okay, interesting. So I'm going to be very, very transparent about all of this. I promised myself that I would go into this and just not hold back with anything. And I will be honest, I'm not actively manifesting a relationship right now because I'm at a really big part of my career, and I'm feel so pulled in the direction of my career. And that's where I feel called to put most of my energy. And I just know that if I were to manifest a relationship right now, I wouldn't be able to show up as my most feminine self, because being a business owner and having my working hat on requires quite a significant amount of like masculine energy. And I just feel like when it's time for me to get into a relationship, I will feel called to kind of not like let go of my career, because I don't think there's ever going to be a point in my life where I'm not a career girly. Like, I feel like it's just part of me. But when I'm ready to not like focus as much on my career, then I feel like I will start to think about manifesting a relationship. But again, it just doesn't feel like the right point in my life right now, because I love what I'm doing, and I love this career that I get to be so involved with in my everyday life. And I'm just the kind of person, like, I know myself, I like with my Pisces Venus, if y'all know astrology, y'all know as a Pisces Venus, I am a lover girl. When I get into a relationship where I have somebody that I really like, it's like full blown, like, what is balance? Like, no, I'm literally in love with you. I want to spend every day, every second of every day with you. And that's going to be the vibes. And when that's the case, again, it's really hard to focus on my work and focus on my career. So I will say, I do sometimes think maybe I have a little bit of a fear of intimacy. I'm not going to lie, because relationships can be scary, you know, like, I've been hurt in the past quite a few times, and I do reflect on those experiences a lot. But it's also just like the idea of opening up to somebody and really like putting myself out there just feels a little scary right now. So that's also something that I'm actively trying to work through, is like being open to it. But again, I feel so good about putting my energy into my career right now and focusing on that direction. And when I feel called to manifest in the direction of a relationship, I already know exactly. Like, it's so crazy because I already know exactly what it's going to feel like. I know what the guy is going to be like the vibes in general.
Tell us the vibes. I think we want to know the vibes. Like,
okay.
We definitely respect that Nadia is not manifesting these vibes in her life right now, but what mm-hmm. she will be manifesting, we want to okay. know. So spill. Okay.
So I will say the first thing I will start with, and this is actually something when I've asked the people in my life, like my parents and like my friends, I've asked them like, what kind of guy do you see me with? And every single one of them has mentioned something about the fact that I have a really strong personality, and whoever I'm with has to also have a really strong personality. Otherwise I will literally steamroll all over. Like, I just, that's like, can't, like, I can't be with somebody who is like a more on the passive side. Like, I need somebody who's really in touch with his masculinity and can really show up in the masculine, because I have quite a bit of masculine energy in like myself. And I feel like if it just creates a really lack of balance when a guy isn't enough in his masculine and the girl is, it's just like not, it's not the vibes. So somebody who's very, very connected to his masculine in a very healthy way, super important to me. Somebody who can take the lead. And that, I mean, that's also part of masculine energy, right? Like, I want to be able to turn off my brain when I'm around you. If I can't turn off my brain when I'm around you, not the one. Like, I need to be able to just check out completely, knowing and being able to trust that you can take control of the situation and have it figured out. Also somebody who's just very affectionate and very like sweet, and like words of affirmation are huge for me. Like, I need a guy that will communicate, so like over communicate, because that's just where I thrive. And I also like I talk a lot. Like, I need somebody who's okay with talking a lot, because I just, that's just so big for me, is the words of affirmations and like communicating via really, really stimulating and like interesting conversations. And I think also somebody, oh, this is really important. He has to have a really good relationship with his mom. like a really healthy, wholesome relationship with his mom, or at least like he needs to have a lot of respect for his mom. I feel like that's a really big part of the equation, or at least a fundamental respect for women in general, because I feel like I've talked to guys in the past that just the energy there was so lacking, and it's just such an ick for me to hear a guy talk about like women in a even just a tiny condescending way. Like, that's just a no for me. So somebody's really respectful in that regard. And I think that pretty much like that's the major, major things. He does also have to be taller than me. I'll be so real. Even if he was exactly my height, I don't think I'd be able to do that. Like, he needs to be significantly taller than me.
You're really tall. How tall are you?
I'm like 5'7".
Well,
but in heels, girl, in heels though, that's like what, 6'1"? So
how high are your heels, girl? Dance.
6 inch. I usually do 6. Well, 5'7", 8, 9, 10, 11. Okay, 5'11, 6 foot.
Yeah,
so usually about 4 inches.
You're a taller woman.
Mm-hmm. So exactly. He has to be a tall boy.
I love that. Well, that was a knight in shining armor, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm. So
love that you broke that down for us, Nadia. Thank you for going there and shedding some light on a very personal question.
You're welcome.
Love that. So why don't you choose the next category and I'll choose a question.
Let's do coaching curiosities. I don't think we've done that one in a hot minute.
Yeah, I think it's time. Coaching curiosities. Ooh, this one's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Before coaching, mm-hmm. did you feel like you were on the right path, or did you ever feel like there was something missing and that there was something more for you to do?
Oh, that's a really good question. So when I was studying to become a therapist and when it was my plan to become a therapist, I did feel really aligned with it. I think I started to have doubts once I was enrolled in my master's program, and I literally hated it. It's not that I hated it, actually. I mean, I liked learning about stuff that was related to my personal interests, but the context of school and being forced to learn about it in a specific way really did not resonate with me at all. And I think it was just the feeling of being restricted in that way that really gave me the ick. Eventually, I was like, I can't, this just is not it for me anymore. And I will say that at that time when I was enrolled in school and that was the path I was going to be on, I did definitely feel like something was missing. And I really do think it was the freedom of being able to just allow myself to explore my curiosities at my pace and my own way and be able to use my natural skill set to help people without needing like a certification or without needing a license or whatever, credentials from somebody else to say that you're good enough to do this and you're like licensed to do this. So, and I definitely noticed a difference after I became a coach and I started seeing clients. I was like, oh my God, this is so fulfilling. Like, this is it. Like, I can't even tell you guys. I've had people ask me like, oh, like, what is it like seeing clients and whatever? Like, is it like a big caseload or whatever? And I'm like, you guys don't understand. Like, client meetings are dead ass the highlight of my day/week every single week. Like, I look forward to actually meeting with my clients and talking to them, seeing how they're doing. Okay, where are you at? How can we help you kind of get past this? How can we help you reframe? Like, that is literally, and being able to do it on my terms, oh my God, like, next level. It's just so magical for me. And it just proves to me even more that, like, if I'd continued to the path of a therapist and, like, gone down that route, I would not have been happy at all. And I'll tell you, a lot of it has to do with like insurance, like having to do the paperwork and having to like take all the exams and do like, oh my God, all of that stuff would just ruin it for me. Like, I would just be like, I don't even want to fucking do this anymore. Like, I'm actually over it. So I'm just really glad that I get to be in a space now where I have full autonomy over my clients and I get to be like, this is what I feel is best for them. And this is what I feel like will help them most. And that's never failed me. Like, it's done so well. So yeah, I hope that answered the question. Like, I definitely did feel like something was missing, mainly the freedom part, and being able to have that now is just a huge game changer with my level of satisfaction.
I love that. If no one feels as fulfilled as you just described your work right now, mm-hmm. that's literally your sign that it's not meant for you. Because it's as simple as that, right? Like, does it light you up? Does it fulfill you? The things that you describe sound like so fulfilling in your realm, right? Like doing things mm-hmm. at your pace and having full control and like mm-hmm. literally having highlights of the week are your clients. Like,
yeah,
if your work doesn't light you up as much as that, then it's not it.
It should literally, like, when you wake up in the morning, you should feel grateful that you get to do that work today. Like, that's really, I feel like, the measure. And I know there's people that say, oh, your career doesn't have to be that fulfilling. Like, you can get fulfillment out of other stuff. Like, I know there's a lot of older generations that tend to think that way. Mm-hmm. But, like, I'm here to remind you that you are spending usually 8+ hours a day at work every single day. If you're honestly going to sit here and tell me that it's okay for you to do work that doesn't light you up at all for 8 hours every single day, you need a reality check, because spending all that time doing things that don't literally viscerally light you up, it's inevitably going to lead to burnout, because there's going to be a point where you're like, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, I'm actually so over this. And I think if you just give yourself the space to normalize, yeah, I should feel so excited and so elated by what I'm doing. And if you don't know what that is yet, that's fine. It doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. It's just, you have a little bit of soul searching to do to figure out what it actually is. So I hope that's helpful for you guys.
It was, definitely. Love it. Thank you so much, Nadia. That was well said, I must say.
Thank you.
All righty. Let's go ahead. And actually, this is going to be a question that I know Nadia is going to love.
Okay,
let's hear it. Let's go for Delulu is a Salulu.
Okay.
And the question is, how do you balance being delusional versus taking action? And does it have to do with your zodiac sign?
That is a really great question. Okay, so how do you balance aligned action with being Delulu? And does it have to do with your zodiac sign? So I'll address the zodiac part later, but I will say that when I'm working with a client, for example, and we want them to manifest a specific outcome, what I make sure they focus on before they take any action at all ever is aligning their energy first, aligning their vibration first. The vibration that you are embodying every day determines the level of downloads, the level of inspiration. Like, you are connected based on your wavelength, based on your vibration every day, your emotions, what you're thinking every day. You are tuned into that frequency and that level of consciousness. So when you get like downloads, for example, or you get like downloads or like really brilliant ideas, these bridge the gap ideas where you're like, oh my God, I have to do this. It just feels so right. Those come in when you are vibrating at the frequency of that desire itself. And the download comes in as a bridge the gap idea to help you get there. So when you focus on aligning your vibration first and getting to the emotional place of receptivity where it's like, I'm feeling really grateful. I'm feeling like, think about how you would feel if you had all the things that you really wanted right now, right? You would feel really grateful, excited, happy, fulfilled, right? And if you can start channeling that energy right now and embodying that energy right now, what will happen is you will start to get the intuitive downloads to actually make that version of events a reality. But it starts with you aligning your vibration first. And that's why when I talk about aligned action and I talk about like using your intuition and like taking action from a place of alignment, it starts with your energy being in alignment first. Because, and this is something I tell clients all the time, right? Like, if you come to me and you're wanting to manifest your dream job and you're working your 9-to-5, you can't stand your 9-to-5, you're so over it, I'm not going to tell you to quit right now and then manifest your new job now. It's like, what we need to do is continue with your 9-to-5, but learn how to raise your vibration with the time that you have right now. Learn how to visualize, be Delulu, embody your future self, right? Do all of that while you're in your current 3D reality. And then once you're at the point vibrationally where you have access to the downloads, the inspiration, the frequency to be able to take aligned action, then you'll be able to take that aligned action and it will feel right. That's the thing. And that's how you always know, like, it's not about which action steps you take. It's about how do you feel when you're doing those actions, because the energy that you put into the action is the same energy that you get out of it. So if you're taking action from a place of panic or anxiety, or like, oh my God, like I need to make sure I get this done, or you're like scrambling, right? If you're doing it from a place of fear, you're going to manifest fear from that action simply because that's the energy that you've put into it. So if you can learn how to ground your energy first and get yourself into alignment first, you will learn how to take action from a place of inspiration, joy, gratitude, like enlightenment, right? So I hope that answers the question. And then in terms of like the zodiac sign, I would actually relate it more to human design. Your human design is the way that you, that like, that's what influences how you actually manifest and how you take action. If you are a generator or a manifesting generator, your strategy is responding. So what that means is you will know it's the right aligned action when it makes you feel really good. When your body literally has a physical response or an emotional response to the idea of doing this particular action. So if that's the energy that's behind it, like your body has responded, it's like, oh my God, yeah, that'd be so cool. Or, oh my God, yeah, that feels really right. Then that's how you know that's the right aligned action to take, right? But if you're not, if you don't have anything to respond to right now, that's cool. Focus on being DeLulu. Have a good time literally just visualizing and using your imagination and doing all the good stuff. But then when you get that inspiration of like, ooh, I really want to do that, or that feels really good, then you know that it's time to go for that. If you are a manifester, your strategy is to inform. So you need to be telling people about your plans, talking about the things that you are like visualizing for yourself, sharing this information with people around you that are aligned. And you will basically recruit the help of the people that are meant to help you bring that vision to life in the kind of networking aspect of informing the people around you. So that's usually the aligned action for a manifester. And then for projectors, it's waiting for the invitation, right? So the right aligned action for you guys is really just to put yourself out there, really see the value in what you do and what you have to offer, and make sure that you are visible to the rest of the world. And again, you're putting the energy of, I love what I do and I'm so proud of what I do. And when you're putting that energy out into the world, you will inevitably attract the right invitations to help you fulfill your goals. So again, like, it really just depends on your energy type. It really just depends on what your strategy is according to your energy type that will really tell you, how do I know when it's time to take action and how do I know when it's time to chill out? There was something else I was going to say in terms of, oh yeah, like again, when you're not feeling inspired by anything, when you're not feeling pulled to anything, there's no aligned action to take, and that's fine, right? Then it's at that point, it's just about being DeLulu and enjoying, like aligning your vibration and your energy with it. But then again, when you start to feel pulled towards something and you start getting these like sparks of inspiration, you get really excited over something, the energy of that idea is confirmation that you should go for it. It's just about learning how to tune into your own body and tune into your energy system and see, is this coming from the right place? Is this coming from a place of alignment, or is this coming from a place of misalignment?
Beautifully said. I love when Nadia starts going off on human design. It literally is my favorite thing to listen to. It literally lights me up. And then just discovering that I was a projector myself and learning how to tune into that receiving mode of waiting for the invitation. That's when I started getting so many invitations literally coming out of the woodwork, like out of nowhere, when I finally understood that that's how my kind of like, that's how I need to be taking aligned action, just really waiting for that invitation that's going to feel like super aligned and lighting me up anytime I think about it. So we will definitely be putting in the how to figure out your human design type in the show notes, because I think everybody needs to be knowing about human design. And it's kind of similar to like the information that you need to know to figure out your astrology sign, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. It is really similar. What we can do is we'll put the human design like DIY template. It's a Notion template that kind of walks you through all the elements of your chart and how to use the human design app to fill all that out. So we'll put that in for you guys so you can kind of learn more about it. But yeah, I'm really glad that you found it really helpful. I think everybody has really been enjoying the human design content. And specifically, there was something else that I wanted to mention about all of the energy types when it comes to getting into alignment and taking action from a place of alignment. Manifestors, it's showing up like a CEO. It's showing up like a boss bitch, confident, very empowered, very like, I'm here to be the boss and I know I'm good at what I do. Manifesting generators, it's more about allowing yourself to step into the versatility of all your different passions and hobbies and things that you enjoy doing, like leaning into wherever your curiosity is pulling you. Because you have a lot of natural gifts and a lot of natural talents that will only be able to reveal themselves when you follow the spark of what feels good for you to do. For generators, it's just about doing the things that really light you up and doing the things that you're like, oh my God, I really, really enjoy. I'm really passionate about this and I really enjoy doing this. And then projectors, like we mentioned, right? It's just about putting yourself out there and feeling really, seeing the value that you have to bring to the world and making sure that you're visible. So yeah, that's how you get into alignment and take aligned action for each of the energy types.
I love it. Go for it. Yes,
I was also going to mention, I don't know how many of you guys follow me, like how many of you guys who listen to the podcast follow me on Instagram, but I have a subscription on my Instagram where I post things like my human design mini course, my manifestation 101 mini course, a lot of my like free guides and resources, well, not the free ones, the paid ones that I usually give to clients, I offer them in the subscription. So if you are wanting the Human Design mini course to learn more in depth about that stuff, I highly recommend you get, head over to my Instagram page and subscribe to my Alignment Club subscription channel, and you will get access to all of that.
Yes. Put in that plug, Nadia. We love
Nadia. Shameless plug.
Yes. Shameless plug. All right. I think we have time for how many more questions, Nadia? How many do you think?
How many do we have left on the list?
Oh, there's quite a lot.
Ooh. Okay. Maybe we'll have to do a part two. You guys can let me know. Send me a message on Instagram if you want a part two of this kind of episode, but let's do maybe two more questions and then we will wrap it up.
Sounds good. Okay. So I have the perfect two questions to end on this note. And I think they're really, really juicy, and they'll probably be relatable and help somebody out in some sort of way.
Perfect.
So the first question comes from challenges and difficulties.
Mm-hmm.
How did you deal with heartbreak? How do you deal with heartbreak?
Ooh. Okay. So I will tell you guys, I had the biggest heartbreak of my life when I was, I want to say like 21 years old, 20, 21 years old. I literally thought I was going to marry him. I was a much, much different person, but I thought I was going to marry him. And I was like, oh my God, like, this is it. This is going to be my life. This is amazing. And that's when I was struggling a lot with my codependency issues. Like, this was like kind of like more of the unhealed version of me. Mm-hmm. And I struggled a lot. I was so depressed. It took me probably like a year and a half to really get over it. And I didn't really have the coping mechanism, or I didn't have the tools to be able to cope properly with it. But it's funny because that was actually the heartbreak that kind of helped lead me into everything that I am so big on now. Like, I started reading The Power of Now, Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself. Like, all of that stuff helped me realize that I had all the tools within me to actually heal and actually move forward. And so I think that the question was about how my heartbreak went, or what was the question?
The question was, how did you deal with heartbreak specifically? But I think another question to follow up with that would be, mm-hmm. like, how is a healthy way to deal with heartbreak now that you know
mm-hmm.
you have all of these tools in your toolbox? So maybe, mm-hmm. like, you know, give us a side of that personal heartbreak experience if you feel called to do so.
And yes.
Then, yeah. How would you deal with heartbreak knowing what you know now?
Yeah, maybe I'll tell you, if I could go back in time knowing what I know now, this is how I would have coped with my heartbreak differently. I would have, first of all, given myself the space to purge all of the emotions themselves. So feel the sadness all the way through, cry it all, like cry it out, and really like let the energy, the emotional energy kind of express itself fully, whether that means literally sitting and crying or like going in the shower and crying, listening to sad music, whatever the case may be, just allowing myself to sit with the sadness and kind of let it move through me. But at the same time, paying attention to the way I was thinking about the breakup and how I was framing the breakup in my mind. For example, I was struggling the most with heartbreak when my thoughts were, I'm never going to find a relationship like that ever again. He was the one and now he's lost. And now I'll never find somebody like that again. My whole life is now derailed because I thought I was going to get married. And now it's like, it's all up in the air. There's so much uncertainty. Like, when these were the thoughts that were being thrown around in my mind, it made me feel so shitty, and it did not help my healing process at all, because none of it was conducive to my growth. All of it actually hindered my growth because it made me feel like I was stuck. It made me feel regretful of the breakup, like it shouldn't have happened. It made me hold a lot of resentment towards him in particular when he really didn't really do much. It was just wasn't really aligned. Like, we weren't meant to be together. And so I would have, like, if I could go back in time, I would monitor my self-talk more closely and ask myself, are these thoughts helping me? And if they're not helping me, how can I reframe them in a way that is actually conducive to my growth? How can I develop more of the mindset of everything is happening is exactly as it should? Anything that's meant for me will never miss me. If I'm supposed to have it, it will come to me later on. If it's not this, it's something better. Right? Like, that's the mindset that I have now that really pulls me through the hard times, is recognizing that everything is happening exactly the way that it should, and not having any of that regretful energy towards it, or like wishing that it went differently, or like fearing that I'm never going to meet somebody else. Like, trusting in the divine timing of my path and trusting that everything, again, is working out exactly the way that it's supposed to, and that this is a painful experience. Yes, I'm allowed to feel sad. I'm allowed to feel the pain that comes with it without it tainting my entire experience of life and making me feel so hopeless and devastated. Just kind of moving with the flow of my life and trusting, again, in the bigger picture, that this is how it's supposed to play out. I will always be okay in the end. I think that's the other thing, is I used to catastrophize a lot and get really afraid that I would never feel normal again and I would never feel okay again. But it's like recognizing that it's like, no, you will feel okay again. This is just, it's like a dark storm cloud. Sometimes the dark storm cloud is much, much bigger than something you've experienced before, but it will always pass. Like with time and with the right like coping tools, it will pass and you will emerge from the other side, a different version of you, a more evolved version of you, if you choose to allow that path of healing. So that's what I would do differently. Monitor my self-talk, recognize when the way I'm thinking about it is not helping me, and also making sure that I had the right support system of people that could help me get through it. That's a really, really big one. Because I remember at the time I was friends with people that mimicked my negative mindset, and that didn't help me at all. It would have been really nice to have people that I have in my life now, like Tamara, for example. Like, her wisdom at that time would have been so helpful to help me move through it. So I think making sure that you have the right support system is also a really great way to make sure that you're going through the heartbreak in a healthy way, and being able to just trust that process.
Beautifully said. That's so important, making sure that you have a good support system to really help you like hold space for the emotional roller coaster that you're going through at the moment. Mm-hmm. And not, you know, staying away from people that might influence you negatively. Like, for instance, when people are going through heartbreak, I know mm-hmm. of a lot of people, or, you know, examples of people that have gone through their friends telling them like, let's just go out and let's get really fucked up.
Yeah.
And let's make some bad decisions. And that's probably the worst thing that you could do after a breakup. And everyone, you know, like, everyone has their opinions on that, but just like mm-hmm. personally, you're trying to evolve. You're not trying to find some way to heal from the heartbreak with, whether it's like alcohol or sex or hooking up.
Numbing it out. Yeah.
It's not. Yes. Numbing out. Exactly.
Not the vibes. Yeah. I would definitely agree with that 100%. Like, making sure that it's not even just the people that you're around, but it's like what you're actually doing to cope. Like, if it's something like drinking or partying or like just numbing it out, obviously you're not on the right track, but it's like, spending time alone in nature could be a way to really just, it's just sitting with it. It's just not running away from it, I think, is the number one thing to take away. Like, not running away from the pain, just sitting with the pain and allowing it to move through. Like we talked about last episode, I think is another big part of the process as well. So thank you for that addition. Amazing insight.
Of course. So well said. I definitely know that that's going to help somebody, because heartbreak is just so relatable. I think that's
yes.
just like something that we've all been through. And honestly, mm-hmm. girl, at some point at 21, we thought we were going to marry some man when we were 21, right?
Literally. It happens.
Facts. True. Okay. So the last question is going to be super juicy, full transparency, but you know, people want to know a little bit into Nadia's life. Mm-hmm. And so this is relating to your coaching business. Mm-hmm. So somebody is asking, are you fully supported as a manifestation coach? And how much are you making from your coaching business alone?
Oh, juicy. Y'all want to know the big stuff. I love it.
I want to know the receipts. Give them.
Okay. Me. So, full transparency, when I first got into coaching and like just being in the social media space in general. So I got fired from my job, right? And then I had no game plan. I had no money coming in. I had no other stream of income. I ended up manifesting a gig as a social media manager where I was making $8,000 a month, which was awesome. It was like, that was already like four times the amount of money I was making before. But I had a pretty good amount of debt, whether it was like student loans, credit card debt, like I was not in the best place financially, but I was able to pay it all off. And I want to say like 3 months or so, maybe like 4 months. So I cleared all my debt and then obviously started taking clients and started working as a manifestation coach. And short answer is that yes, I'm fully supported. I've actually been able to do a lot of really amazing things with my wealth that I'm so grateful for. One of them is I was able for Mother's Day this year to cut my mom a check to pay off all of her credit card debt. I was also able to pay for my Invisalign. I don't know if you guys know this, but I have Invisalign in, and that is a pretty hefty investment, but I was able to pay that all off in full as well. And just being able to like support my family with like anything they need, being able to travel wherever I want, whenever I want to, like I would honestly say I have full financial freedom right now to do whatever I feel like doing. And that's why you guys see me going and traveling to Florida or California or like Italy for the month. Like I'm able to support myself with anything that I choose to do right now, which I'm so, so grateful for. And in terms of numbers, let's be fully transparent about this. So across the board, since I started, I'm going to pull up my Stripe account right now so I can actually pull out these receipts for y'all. So when it comes to coaching on its own, this is not including brand collaborations, content creation gigs. Also, again, when I was working as a social media manager, this is just coaching alone. Let's see, we need a drum roll. Okay. Gross volume is about 180,000 across the board. But again, that's just with coaching. That doesn't include any of the other streams of income. Cause I sell like digital products. I have my journals. I have, what else do I do? Again, brand collaborations are a big piece of that pie as well, that are on top of this, but that is the number for since I started coaching, that's how much I've made across the board.
That is amazing. My jaw dropped because what a something to look forward to, like as you're like someone who's manifesting becoming an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. And literally like your face said it all when you said like, I have financial freedom. Like, I feel like everybody just deserves that. That's everybody's birthright. And honestly, mm-hmm. Nadia, like you're such an inspiration for people to see that like you came from being a stressed out, probably in debt, in huge debt, master student trying to mm-hmm. pursue, you know, a career that was probably, you know, in that version of yourself to now where you're just such a boss living for yourself and supporting your loved ones. I think everybody like aspires to be that. So thank you for the full transparency.
Oh my gosh. And this is honestly, you guys know, I haven't really shared numbers before. I think I shied away from that because I never wanted to feel like I was being arrogant or like bragging or just being an asshole about it. But I also recognize, I think recently I've really been thinking about how important it is to be transparent because I want you guys to all know that if you want to be wealthy, if you want to be financially free, it is possible for you. I literally built a business from the ground up myself and I'm what, like 24 years old. Like if I can do it, anybody can do it. And like, I'm going to be making content soon about my actual numbers, like a breakdown of how much I've been able to make as a coach that doesn't have any like technical credentials. Like I don't have any certifications. I don't have whatever. Like this is just me doing what I love every day. And like, everybody, you guys all have the same ability to do the same for yourselves, whether it is like creating your own business or working for somebody else making six figures, like it's totally within reach. And I just want you guys all to have that inspiration for yourselves. Like it's never as far away as you think it is. Like if you told me when I got fired from my job that I would be making six figures that year, I would have been like, you're literally lying to me. Like I don't believe you. But it's once I got into it myself and I just kind of went with the process and just I was Delulu until it became my reality. Like that's when everything really starts to change. It's like releasing the limiting beliefs that you have about, oh, it's not possible, or oh, I'm the exception, or whatever the case may be. Like if I can do it, I promise you, you can do it too. And keep listening to the pod and watching my Instagram stories, watch my TikToks if you want to get there, because I will show you the way, babe. I got you.
Slay. And don't forget to subscribe to Nadia's subscription channel because that's where all of the treasure chest resources are for real, for real.
Yep, 100%. I'm going to be releasing even more content on there really soon because I have some new ideas of what I want to put on there. Also, I think this is a good time to let you guys know that the app that I have been working on is so close to being done and it is called 1111 Affirmations. It's going to be launching in the next couple of weeks or so. And I'm really, really excited to share that with you. We might end up doing an episode just on 1111, just to give you guys some context on the app itself and how to use it and all that amazingness. So also, if you guys have any specific episodes that you would want to see, please DM me on Instagram and let me know. I'm always open for feedback on what you guys want to see more of. So Kaylee, I want to thank you so, so much for taking the time to put these questions together and these categories together. I have really, really enjoyed opening up about a lot of the stuff we talked about on this episode. And I'm open to doing a part two with, for the other questions. And again, if that's something you guys would want to see, let me know. I'm so open to doing that. But Kaylee, again, thank you for joining and for holding the space with me. And
this was, yes, so much
my
fun.
Loves.
Yay! You are an inspiration to many of us. So thank you for being transparent and vulnerable and giving us really good life lessons and tools and all of the things. Nadia, I think there's going to be a lot of people that benefit from this episode. So thank you.
Oh, you and me both. I get so excited when I get like messages from you guys about how you've really been enjoying the podcast. So before we close out this episode, per usual, we have to give you guys a limitless challenge of the week. And for this week, it is going to be to choose one of the resources that we have for you guys in the description, whether it is the Human Design free template, whether it's a meditation, whether it's literally anything you see in the resources that are plugged. Check those out and do one of them to kind of dip your toes in the water if you haven't yet and start getting yourself into alignment. And with that, thank you guys for listening. I really hope you guys enjoyed this episode and I will see you all next week. Bye.